Masechet Tanit Daf Zayin. It's going to be a long daf of lots of agadot, really some very fascinating, amazing agadot. We're starting off talking about how great rain is. We're going to compare rain to Techete Metim. We're going to say that rain is even better than Torah. And that's going to lead to a tangent about how great Torah is. And then we'll go back to how great rain is, why rain comes, and various explanations for why rain is withheld. A few different opinions of different sins because of which rain is stopped. All right, so we start. Amara bi Abhu, Gadol Yom HaGeshamim B'Techete Metim. A day that rains is greater than the resurrection of the dead at the end of times. Te'ilu Techete Metim LaSadikim, Bilu Geshamim Ben LaSadikim Ben LaResha'im. Because Techete Metim applies only for the righteous people, and Daniel says that many people will rise from the dead, Sadikim for everlasting good, and the evil people for everlasting punishment. So only a few benefit from Techete Metim, whereas for rain, everyone benefits for rain, righteous and evil alike. And so that's one way in which is better. So this is quite a surprising statement. Of course, rain and Techete Metim are associated with each other. That's why they're mentioned in the same beracha, the second beracha of the Amidah, And they have some similarity, like you have a dead earth and just seeds rotting in there. And all of a sudden, quite miraculously, they grow into fruits and vegetables. So it's quite an amazing thing. We happen to be used to seeing things grow, so we're not as surprised. But if, you know, every day you saw people rising from the dead and you never saw a tomato, then you would be more amazed by the tomato growing. So truth is, it's just as amazing. And according to the Be'avu, even more amazing. And the way Techete Metim is a one-time occurrence. So as amazing as that is, it's one time and only applies to a few people. Whereas rain has to come in day in, day out, every season, has to give food for all living beings. So that is a greater, even a greater miracle. Beautiful. Ufili gad Rav Yosef. But Rav Yosef disagrees with that. The Amar Rav Yosef, mitoch shi shikulak Techete Metim, kivua b'Techete Metim. He says, no, it's not greater, it's equal. Okay, fine. And because it's equal, that's why we mention rain in the second bracha that ends Techete Metim. The rain bringing the earth back to life is one form of Techete Metim. It's not greater, but rather equal. Amar Rav Yehuda, gadol yom hageshamim ki yom shenitena bo Torah. A day that it rains is as great as the day when the Torah was given. That was a pretty big day. Shenemar ya'arof kamatar likhi ve'en lekach ela Torah shenemar ki lekach tov natati lachem Torati al ta'azobu. Because of the pasuk of Mishle that says, my teaching, lekach, is I've given you, and that's compared to Torah. And then in Hazinu it says, may my likhi, may my Torah drip down like rain. So therefore, you see, anytime it rains is compared to the day of giving of Torah. And in fact, rain is even greater because it's saying that may my teaching be like rain. So you see that you're comparing something smaller to something even greater. Sorry, this was Keyom Shinitna. The Avuda says it's equal, the same. Lava says, no, rain, a day that it rains is even greater than the day it was given. Quotes the same Pasuk. And his point is, whenever you make a comparison, A is like B, so B is the greater. If you say, you know, you're as strong as Superman, so I'm saying that Superman is the most strong person I can think of, and you are as great. You are like Superman, so that means Superman is greater. So to hear, if I say that the Torah is like rain, what I'm really saying that Torah aspires to be as great as rain. Rain is even better than the day the Torah was given. Okay, both are sources of life and essential for our well-being. And so that's why they are compared. But once again, Matan Torah was just one day, and rain happens all the time, so it's a greater miracle. He brings a contradiction between the two halves of the pasuk. On the one hand, it says, my teaching shall drop like rain. Now, rain sounds like it's a lot of rain, a harsh way, whereas tal is nice and soft. So my speech, my words should come down like dew. Well, which one is it? Is Torah teaching going to be hard, like hard rain, strong rain, or soft like dew? And the answer is im tamid chacham hagunhu katal vim lav orfehu kamatar. If you have a student who is a worthy, a proper student who's learning well, then you teach him like you give him the Torah over like dew softly. But if he's an improper student, then you should treat him like strong rain, kind of push him away, or feel like the back of a neck, like orpa, right? She walks away. So you know, push him away like orif. Okay, we'll see. This is going to get even a harsher interpretation in a minute. Tanya, haya Rabbi ben Aa omer, kol ha'osek ba'Torah lishma, Torato na'aset lo sam chayim. Shenemar etz chayim hi lemachazikim ba. Someone who learns Torah for its own sake, for the sake of studying, because he wants to know and he wants to learn from it and grow from it. Well, then that will be a medication of life, as Pasuk in Mishlei says. The Torah, wisdom here, we apply as Torah is a tree of life for those who hold on to it. Another pasuk says, it will be health to your navel. Another pasuk says, whoever finds me finds life. These are all good things. However, someone who learns Torah not for its own sake, but rather for his own personal self-aggrandizement, to show how great he is, to use it to lord it over people. And so that is all, even though he's learning Torah, that will cause destruction, and ultimately that will be death. And quotes the other half of the pasuk that says, may my teaching be like rain, meaning strong rain that kills things. We saw before that, you know, rain has to be just, you know, right amount of rain. Otherwise, it can be quite destructive. And Ya'arof is also found in the pasuk regarding the heifer, that we break its neck when we don't know who killed, who committed a murder, and we break its neck. So this is a violent, even a violent act, that one who is not, does not learn Torah properly, it ends up being very negative. So one time Reb Meir went to the Bizera and says, can you teach me some halacha? You know, teach me, give me a chidush. Reb Meir says, no, I'm very weak and not feeling well. I don't have the strength to teach a halacha. So then Reb Meir, the student, says, okay, fine, you're weak, tell me an agada. Agada is always easier. Although, you know, sometimes we see, like in these agadot, they can be very deep and hard to understand and require a lot of thought. Nevertheless, you don't need that, logical reasoning and comparison and the rigor that usually comes with halacha. So he says, okay, fine, I'll tell you an agada. Amar lehachi amar Rabbi Yochanan, my dichtiv, ki ha'adam etz ha'sadeh, v'chi adam etz sadehu. Ironically, he quotes a halachic source, actually, the pasuk that says, when you surround a city to besiege it for a while, and you're going to, so you can capture it, you're not allowed to destroy the trees, the fruit trees, right? Because you want to be able to eat from them, so you can't cut them down. And the pasuk ends, ki hadam etz hasadeh lavo lefanecha b'masor. So here it's translated as a question: are trees of the field human to withdraw before you in a besieged city? In other words, if you humans are fighting, what did the trees do, right? The trees don't have the option to say, okay, we withdraw, we surrender. The trees are stuck. And so you shouldn't take out your, whatever is going on, don't take it out on the trees. The fruit trees, after all, represent the future. You know, even if you win and there's no fruit trees, then there's not going to be anything to live on. So there's some things that are even more important than in a short-term gain in the war. And the next pasuk says, only trees that, you know, do not yield fruit, if they're not a fruit tree, then you can cut it down, because that's not as important, and, you know, use it to make a battering ram or something. So the question is, what does it mean? Why is it comparing a human to a tree? Is a human a tree? Because the next pasuk says, if it's a fruit tree, you should eat from it. So don't cut it down. Whereas a non-fruit bearing tree, that you can cut down. So hakesad im tamid racham hagun hu mimenu tochel v'oto lo tichrot v'im lav v'oto tashchit v'charata. So we explain the pasuk in his peshat that it's saying that it's not a human, a tree is not like a human. So since it can't surrender, leave it out of the war. But the midrash is actually taking it in an allegorical way and saying, yes, it is in fact comparing humans to trees and specifically types of students. If you have a proper student, then learn from him. Don't cut it down, right? But rather teach him. And that Torah will be good and fruitful. But if it's an improper student, one that does not give off fruit, then cut it down and don't let that student benefit from the study of Torah, because it's only going to be for his own power and end up causing a lot of negative repercussions. Amar bi chama b'rabbi chanina. May dichtiv barzel bebarzel yachad. Pasuk in Mishle that says iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Lomar lach ma barzel ze echad mechaded et chavero, af shene tamid hachamim mechadedin ze et ze ba halacha. Just like you take two knives and you rub them together in order to sharpen both of them, so too, when two sages get together and they argue, don't say this is destructive. No, this is fantastic. They actually sharpen each other's minds in the halakha as they have to defend themselves against each other. And so this is one source of the study bechevruta, which is so productive. And, really amazingly in Yeshivat Stan and in other secular educational context, they don't do much of chevruta learning, even though it's so much fun and so productive and helpful in sharpening one's mind. So here's the source for it. Amad Abba Bar Bar Chana, lama nimshalu dibre Torah ka'esh, shenemad halo ko devari ka'esh ne'um Adonai, famous pasuk in Yirmiyah that we've seen before. Why is Torah compared to fire? Since Yirmiyah says, behold, my word is like fire. Lomad lecha ma'esh eno dolek yachid, af dibre Torah en mitkayimin bichidi. Just like fire cannot burn just with a single piece of wood. In other words, you need two pieces of wood. You have to rub them against each other to make a fire, or you need a lot of wood to make a bonfire. So too, Torah cannot be sustained with only one person. You have to have a group that you learn together with. V'hainu de'amar Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina, may dichtiv chedev el habadim ve'no'alu, chedev al sonehen shel talmidei chachamim shoskin bad bebad ba'Torah. So this pasuk in Yirmiyah says, a sword against, in the context, it's talking about, Yirmiyah has a whole list of cherev. The sword will come to all various bad people. And this one is al habadim. Levadot is like to make something up, something false. So here it translates sword against diviners, that they may meet fools of, sword against warriors, that they may be dismayed. But here, the Midrash is taking bad as levad, that the sword should come upon the enemies of the sages. This is a euphemism to mean on the sages themselves, who study alone the Torah. And not only will they cut the sword, but v'lod ela shemitapeshin shenemar v'no'alu. I like how they, becoming foolish is even worse than getting a sword. With the continuation of the pasuk says, v'no'alu, they become foolish. All right, so when you're on just thinking about things yourself and no one's checking to make sure that what you're saying makes sense, then you end up saying silly things that only make sense to you. Velod ela shechotin, and not only that, not only do they kill by the sword and they are foolish, they also sin. Ketiv hacha v'no'alu, ketiv hatam, asher no'alnu v'asher chatanu, pasukim b'midbar, we have done foolishly and we have sinned. So the word no'alu means to sin. V'yibayet emam hacha no'alu, sare so'an, hitu et mitzrayim, or not pasukim ishaya, the princes of so'an have become fools. They have caused Egypt to go astray. So they here no'alu is associated with going astray in sin. Amar Nachman by Yitzchak, lama nimshul dibir Torah ka'etz, shenemar etz chayim hi lamachazikim ba. Okay, we quote the pasuk already, but once again, why is it, we saw why it's like chayim, but why is it like wood? מה לך, מה עץ קטן מדליק את הגדול, אף תמיד החכמים קטנים מחדדים את הגדולים. Just like a small piece of wood that has a flame can ignite a large log and cause it to be a flame, so too small sages, just students, can sharpen their teachers, even great sages. It even benefits, no matter how great you are, there's benefit to discussing things with students, because they might be just a small flame, but even they can enlighten the big flame. והיינו דאמר רבי חנינה, הרבה למדתי מרבותיי, מחבריי יותר מרבותיי, מתלמידיי יותר מכולן, right? The famous statement that רבי חנינה says, I learned a lot from my teachers, even more from my colleagues, and the most from my students. Beautiful. רבי חנינה בר פפא רמה, כתיב לקראת סמי התיו מים, וכתיב הוי כל סמי לכו למים. So he has two pesukim here. Is the first one says, whoever is thirst, to him who is thirsty, bring water. That means you bring water to the thirsty person. But the other pasuk says, the other way around, if you're thirsty, go to the water. Well, which one is it? The answer is, im tamid hagun hu likrat sameh tayumayim. Im lo, hoi ko sameh lechu lamayim. If it's a, back to the theme we said before, if it's a proper student, then bring water to it, to the student. In other words, as teachers, we should make sure that they develop and make the Torah accessible to them. But if they're not a suitable student, then let them figure it out on their own. Don't make it easy for them. Make them work for seeking out a teacher. Go find someone else. Rabbi Chanina bar Hamarame, ketib yafusu ma'yonotecha chutza, uchtiv yihyu lecha lebadecha. So these two pesukim are in Mishle, back to back. One says, yafusu ma'yonotecha, your springs will gush forth in streams and public squares. So that sounds like you will be like a stream that goes out all over. And the other pasuk, next pasuk says, yihyu lecha lebadecha, ve'en lezeri mitach, they will be yours alone. Nobody will share it with you. That sounds like your water you keep to yourself and you don't share it. Well, which one is it? Im tamid hagun hu, yafusu mayotecha chusa vimlav yu lecha lebadecha. Same answer. If you have a proper student, then let your teachings gush forth, pour it all out, and let the student learn it. But if the student is improper and they're going to use it for negative things, then keep it to yourself and don't teach it to them. Truth is that this has played out in history. Some of the worst anti-Semitic people in history were actually originally Jews who then apostatized to Christianity, like Pablo Christiani. He was a Jew. He knew Talmud. He knew everything, but he was all negative in his approach. And then he went and used his knowledge to teach the Christians what he accused them of being negative things, and then, you know, caused the whole disputes and during Middle Ages. So you see that a little knowledge, or not a lot of knowledge, in the wrong hands can be very destructive. So if you see a student like that, then withhold Torah from him. Ve'amar Rabbi Chanina bar Idi, lama nimshelu dibrei Torah lamayim, dichtib. Why is Torah compared to water? That the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, everyone who's thirsty, come for water. Just like water finds its lowest place, so too Torah will only be retained by someone who is humble. You have to be lowly in order for Torah to be a vessel to accept the Torah. If it's all about yourself, then you're always going to put your own mind instead of Torah, and you really won't learn anything. It will not benefit that person. Similar on the theme of liquids. Why is Torah compared to these following three liquids? B'mayim, u'b'yayin, u'b'chalav, water and wine and milk. Dichtiv, hoi, kol sameh l'chul amayim. Uchtiv, l'chul shibru v'echlu, v'echolu. L'chul shibru b'lo chesef, b'lo mechir, yayin v'chalav. Pasuk continues and says, go and buy and eat. Come buy wine, milk, without money and without price. So, and this is all compared to Torah. ולמה לך, מה שלושה משכין הללו אין מתקיימים אלא בפחות שבכלים, אף דברי התורה אין מתקיימים אלא במי שדעתו שפלה. These three little liquids, they stay fresh, the best, when they are in clay pots, the cheapest of pots. Even though it's a cheap pot, Nevertheless, that's best material. If you put it in expensive, in silver or gold, then it gets going to get that metallic taste. It's going to ruin it. And so too, Torah is best preserved in someone who is lowly, like a piece of clay, who is humble and modest. And that way his pride doesn't get in the way. Pride just ruins the Torah that that person learns. And we see this in the following fantastic story. The daughter of the Roman emperor once told Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananya, who was not a very handsome man, he says, wow, how can such great wisdom be in such an ugly vessel, right? You, Rabbi Yehoshua, you really look terrible, right? And amazing, she's surprised how he can be so knowledgeable. Amar la, avich, so Rabbi Yehoshua, he didn't take it as an insult, maybe he did, but he gives her a challenge back. He says, yes, your father, the emperor, he keeps his wine. Does he keep his wine in simple clay vessels? Yeah, what else does he keep it in? What else should he keep it in? Your family is so important. Emperor, shouldn't you put your wine in gold and silver vessels? She says, you're right, good point. She went and told her father, the emperor, let's use gold and silver. So they did. They put the wine in gold and silver, and it got ruined, turned into vinegar. So they went and told the emperor that what happened. The emperor told his daughter, who gave you this terrible advice? Look, we ruined all this wine. I didn't make it up. The rabbi told me so. Kariu, so they called the rabbi. The rabbi, why'd you tell the daughter to put everything in gold and silver and gold? What terrible advice. Look what a loss you caused me. Whatever she told me, I repeated the same thing back to her. Okay, so right, she told me, you're so ugly. How could you put a good fine wisdom in such an ugly person? I told her the same thing. So then the emperor says back, yeah, true, wine you can't put in silver, it gets ruined. But we find wise people who are handsome, one has nothing to do with each other, right? Because here's a proof. Here's this guy, he knows a lot, and he's also good looking. So good looks don't ruin it. And the answer is, havu senu, tefe havu gemiri. Yeah, if that person was ugly, they would have learned even more, right? Too bad for him that he's so handsome. The uglier, the better. Okay, maybe it's because they have no friends and then they spend all time studying. But joking. I think it contributes to someone's humility. And therefore, they can accept the Torah better. Davad acher, or another explanation. Just like these three drinks, they become spoiled if you don't pay attention to them. In other words, if you leave a pot of milk out or water, then it will get spoiled. Things will fall into it, and so then it's no good. So you have to keep pay attention to it. So too, Torah, if you don't pay attention to Torah, and you forget about it, you think about other things and don't have your full devotion to it, then also it will be spoiled, it will be forgotten. All right, that was all a long tangent. Because we compared Torah to the day of Matan Torah, we talked about all important things about Torah, good Torah that's for appropriate student, Torah that causes harm, like a bad student, and also rain is good rain and bad rain. Okay, so now we finished the section about Torah. We're going to go back to rain. So he says, the day it rains is greater than the day of creation of the heavens and the earth. As the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, drop down, O heavens from above. Let the skies pour down righteousness. So it's comparing righteousness coming down to like rain. Let the earth open and bring forth salvation and let it cause righteousness to spring forth. I have created it. Now, we would have expected it to say, I created them. I created the skies and the earth. Doesn't say that. It says, Beratim lo nemad ela beratib, I created it. So what's the it referring to? Well, it's the references to rain that are implied in this pasuk. I created it, and it, rain, is what brings forth creation and goodness and tasmiach and salvation and all these other things associated with it. The point is, Yahya uses rain imagery. And so now this is Rabbi Chama is taking, look at all that rain imagery, all that's compared to rain. So rain is the best. That same pasuk, he says, look how great a day of rain is in that it increases salvation, causes it to multiply. Since the pasuk says, let earth open and bring forth salvation. We say in our tefillah, we say, masmiach yeshua, you make grow salvation. It's a beautiful imagery of how sometimes redemption doesn't necessarily come in 1 second. Sometimes it grows from stage to stage, and it's dynamic. And so this analogy from Yeshaya comes into our tefillah as well. Amar bi tanchum bar chanilai. From Tehillim, it says rain only falls when the sins of Israel are forgiven. As it says here in this pasuk, you have been favorable, you have forgiven the land, you turned the captivity of Jacob, you have forgiven the iniquity. You have pardoned all their sins. Okay, that's the beginning of it. If you look at the end of this mizmor, it says, "Emet meres tismach." Truth springs up from heaven. Justice looks down from heaven. So this is using rain imagery, and so that's why the God will bestow bounty, and our land yields its produce as a result of that rain. So it's mixing imagery of forgiving sins and bringing redemption and bringing justice and rain coming down and earth coming up, springing forth with good things. So therefore, rain is associated with the absolving of transgression. Ziri, from this place of Dihabat, says, I agree with you. But I have another source. You learned it from that pasuk in Tehillim. I learned it from another pasuk in Melachim. There says, "V'ata tishma ha'ashamayim v'salachta lechatat." This is after Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beit HaMikdash. He gives a long and really absolutely beautiful, amazing speech. If you've never read this, go stop now and go read Melachim Aleph Perek Chet. It's a long perek, and he talks about how everyone's going to turn to the Beit HaMikdash and come to it for prayer, for help, for thanksgiving, and turn to Hashem for all things that they need. And one of the things he mentions is that if there's no rain and people sin against you, they will pray and you will hear in heaven and you'll forgive the sin and you'll teach the good way that we should walk. And then you will send rain that you have given to the land, which you have given your people as inheritance. So there you go. I learned the same idea that only when sins are forgiven, that's when rain comes. Amar Rabbi Tanchum bered Rabbi Abba Rabbi Chiya ish kefar Akko. En hageshamim nesarin ela im ken nitchayevu. Okay, this phrase, rain is not stopped only because of, so we're going to see this phrase repeat a whole bunch of times. Lots of different reasons why rain is stopped. So here's number one. Rain is only stopped in kenit chayvus on the Israel kelaya, when the enemies of Israel are deserving of destruction. A euphemism again, it means when Israel is liable to destruction, that's what causes rain to stop. That's a mechanism by which they will be destroyed. Gam hom yigzelu meme sheleg sheol hatau. In the literal meaning of this pasuk in Iyov, we're going to see a whole bunch of pasukim from Iyov come. And the Rasha is not always the same as the Peshat. So here it says, may drought and heat snatch away their snowy waters, and Sheol snatches away those who have sinned. So the Peshat is giving an analogy of two things. Just like drought and heat causes the removal of cool, fresh water, so too Sheol grabs, removes all those who have sinned. But the Midrash is taking, this is not just an analogy, but this is a cause, one causes the other. Because they are reliable, because they are liable to be go down to Sheol because of their sins, that will cause drought to take away the waters. The same Rabbi Ziri, he says, he always likes to bring another source. And I agree with your idea. I have a pasuk from Devarim, which is actually a better source. Why do you have to go all the way to Iyov? You can go right to the Torah. Here also, he brings it from Melachim, closer than Tehillim. Well, for sure, this one's from Torah. It's definitely a better one. So where is it? It's from Kiryat Shema, right? If you don't follow the mitzvot, Hashem will be angry, will close up the heavens, will stop raining, and you will be destroyed and kicked off the land. So there you go. Stopping rain comes along with destruction. Okay, that was reason number one. Number two. Amar Chista, en hageshamim ne'asarin ela bishvil bitul terumot u'ma'asrot. Rain stops when people don't give terumah to the kohanim and ma'asrot to the levi'im and to the poor. She'ne'emar siya gam chom yigzelu meme sheleg. Drought and heat will steal the snow waters. Same pasuk as that we just quoted. Now, my mashma, how does this pasuk, I don't see anything about terumot and ma'asrot in this pasuk. How'd you get there? Tana deber bi Yishmael, bishbil devarim shesiviti etchem bimot hachama velo asitem, yigazlu mekem meme shedeg bimot hageshamim. The answer is, when do you usually give terumot and ma'asrot? In the summer, when you do the harvesting, and then it's all ready, then you give to ma'asrot. If you don't do your obligation in the summer, and give to the Matmasot, then I will take from you the snow, the rain that comes during the rainy, the snowy and rainy season during the winter. And so that's what it means. Gamchom, what you didn't do during the time of the heat in the summer will cause to stop the water that comes in the winter. Okay, that was number two. Now, third reason why rain stops. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, en hageshamim ne'asarin ela. Look, every single one of these phrases starts with that rain stops only because of this. So obviously, none of them mean that this is the only reason. They're all adding to each other. This is a rhetorical, literary device to say, this is the only reason to emphasize how important this reason is. Bishvil mesapere lashon hara. Those who slander, speak badly against each other, that causes rain to stop. Shneimar, ruach safon techolel gashem, ufanim nizamim leshon sater. So again, here in the Peshat, it's just giving an analogy of two things. Just like a northern wind produces rain. When you see a northern rain, that's where you know the clouds come in, and then you'll know that rain is coming. So too, whispered words against someone will produce a glowering face will produce people become angry because of that. So in Peshat, it's just comparing, this is sure to come like the other, but the Midrash is saying that if someone, Lashon Sater, will cause the face of heaven or Hashem's face to be angry, and because of that, the rain will not come. So unless there are Panim Nizamim, which will come because of Lashon Sater. Amar Rav Salah, Amar Rav Hamnuna, en hageshamim ne'asarin ela bishbil azeh fanim. This is number four, that rain are stopped only because of those who are brazen-faced, insolent, impudent people. Shenemar, yimane'u ribibim umalko shelo haya umesach isha zona haya lach. Pasuk in Yirmiyah, the showers withheld, and there has been no last rain, and yet, you, B'nai Israel, you still show a harlot's forehead, meaning a zona who sins regularly and is not even ashamed of it. That's the rest of the pasuk. And you're not even ashamed. At least you have some shame. You do something wrong. Okay, feel shameful. A zona is not shameful. And that's the same as you. And because of that, the rain has stopped. V'amadav salah, amadav hamnuna. Kol adam sheyesh lo azut panim sof nichshal ba'avera. Anyone who is brazen-faced and not ashamed will end up actually sinning. Shneimar u'mesach isha zona hayalach. Rav Nachman amar v'yadua shenichshal ba'avera shneimar hayalach v'lo neimar yihye lach. So Rav Nachman says that if someone is brazen-faced, they will sin, because they don't care. They're not ashamed. So then why will it stop them from sinning? Rav Nachman adds even more. For sure, they already sinned, you can assume, because the Pasuk says it in past tense. Hayalach, you had it. You already happened, or you already did it. So someone who is has no shame, surely you can assume that they must have sinned. Amar Rabba Abad Rav Huna, kol adam sheyesh lo azut panim mutar likroto rasha, sheneemar he'ez ish rasha befanav. Generally, it's not nice to call people wicked, but someone who is brazen-faced, has no shame, is insolent, the way he talks and the way he acts, you can call him a wicked person, as the Pasuk compares them. Wicked man, his face is insolent. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar mutar lisnoto, sheneemar ve'oz panav yeshune al tikre, yeshune ela yisane. Now that you're allowed to hate him, usually not allowed to hate people, but person like this, you should hate. As it says, insolence of his face is changed, but we changed the very word that means to change from yeshune to yisane, that one should hate it. Okay, that was number four. Now, reason number five, why rains are stopped. For those who don't take every opportunity to learn Torah, rains are stopped. A difficult pasuk, that means the asaltayim, atzelut, because of laziness, slothfulness, the rafters will sink in. Okay, and through idleness, the hands of the house leaks. Okay, in the simple reading, it's that if you're lazy and don't keep your house upkeep your house, then it's going to fall down, right? We saw yesterday that when the first rain comes, that's a reminder. Oh, better go seal the roof, make sure it doesn't leak. Okay, if you don't take care of it and you're lazy, then your roof is going to leak. But we're going to read it in an allegorical way. Bishvil atzut shehaya b'Yisrael shelo asku b'Torah nasa son'o shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mach. Because of the laziness, not of fixing the house, but the laziness of not learning Torah, the enemy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is once again a euphemism, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself becomes mach, becomes poor. Ben mach ela ani she'ne'emar im machu me'erkecha. The word mach does mean to become poor. We saw it in Vayikra. If your friend is poor, then you know, make sure to help him out. Ben mikare ela kadosh baruch ne'emar ha'mikare b'mayim aliyotav. And Baruch Nafshi says Hashem makes a roof out of a water over his chambers. Okay, so therefore, Makare, his Hashem is the one above. So that back to the pasuk, it means because of the laziness of Torah, Hamekare, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, becomes poor. In other words, poor of having any reason to provide rain. You know, there's no what merit do you have for Hashem to give rain? Or even a kind of more mystical theurgic reading is that our learning of Torah is what energizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's what gives him that power and will to bring rain. When we're not doing anything down here, then there's no energy to bring rain up in the heavens. Okay, Amar Rav Yosef Amar Mehacha. He says, I agree with the idea, but I have another place to learn it from. V'ata lo ra'u or v'hir hu b'shechakim v'ruach abra v'tetaharem. Men do not see light. It's bright in the skies, but the wind passes and cleanses them. Okay, what does this mean? Ben od ela Torah. So the light is referring to Torah. So lo ra'u or means they stopped learning Torah. If people stop learning Torah, shnei makiner misvav Torah or, we know that. Pahir hu b'shechakim. What does that mean? Tana deber b'Yishmael afilu b'sha'a shedakia nasa behorin lohori talmata ruach abra v'tetaharem. We translate bahir as bright in the sky, which sounds like it's a clear sky. But it's taking the opposite, that bahir means some clouds, bright clouds. Even if you see clouds and you say, oh, look, the rain's going to come. No, ruach avra v'tetaharem, a wind will come and push them away and there won't be any rain. So if you don't have light of Torah, if you don't learn Torah, then even if you see clouds, don't rely on them. The wind will come and it won't rain because of that. Okay, so that's all. The fifth reason that rain stopped, because of bitul Torah. And now, number six, Amar Rabbi Ameh, en hageshamim nesarin ela ba'avon gezel. When people are stealing from each other, that's when rain stops. Shneimar al kapayim kisa or. Another pasuk in Iyov, the literal translation here is, lightning fills God's hands. He orders it to hit the mark. Okay, so kisa ab kapayim, lightning fills his hands. But we can take it a different way. Bavon kapayim kisa or ven kapayim el chamas shenemar umine chamas asher bekapehem. Because of the sin of kapayim, of hands. Well, what's the sin of hands? That's stealing, as Pasuk in Yonah said, and they talk about Nineveh, they stopped from doing the violence that was in their hands. Usually you steal with your hands. So hands referring, so al-kapayim means stealing, and kisa or, and or elam matash, nemar yafitz anan oro. Another Pasuk in Iyov, the literal meaning of that is, af bari yatriach av yafitz anan oro. He loads the clouds with moisture and scatters his lightning clouds. So anan oro is translated here as lightning clouds. The Midrash is just taking it, making that comparison between anan and oro. So therefore, or is a reference to clouds or a reference to rain. And so reading that back into this first Pasuk in Iyov, because of hands, because of stealing with hands, the rain is covered over and does not fall. Okay. My takante. So now what can we do to help? So if we have any of these six problems and rain stops, how can we fix the situation and get rain to come? The same pasuk that we just quoted ends that he orders to hit the mark, but we're going to translate it differently. Ven pigia ela tefila shenemar v'ata al titpalel ba'ad hamazeh. Hashem says to Yirmiyah, when they're especially bad, don't pray for the nation. I don't want to hear your prayers. I'm not going to listen to Yirmiyah. Reminder, just like Hashem tells Moshe, right? Stop praying. What do both of them do? They pray more, right? The point is that we says here, Al Tifka Bi is a parallel to Al Titpalel. So Lifka, to implore is another word to say prayer. So to back here by Savale Mafkia, if you want to change that and you have a lot of theft on your hands, and because of that rain stop, then turn to prayer, and that will remedy the situation and bring people to make teshuvah, and that way the rain can fall once again. And we'll stop here and see some continuation of these agadot tomorrow. Baruch Adonai l'olam. Amen ve'amen.